In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Tuesday today, the 28th and last day of February. Good as always to have you along, everybody. We are going to begin the program today with two pieces of tape, one reality check, and a whole bunch of context, all in the service of the president's speech to a joint session of Congress tonight. Piece of tape number one, which, yes, I realize, but I have to say this because people write in, isn't actually tape anymore, but a bunch of ones and zeros, is the president himself this morning on Fox News being asked about, kind of, and answering, kind of, how he is going to make the budget plan he is going to talk about tonight work.
Where's the money come from?
Well, the
because if you cut all the money from EPA and all the money from SAFE, that's about $50 billion.
Well, I think the money's going to come from a revved-up economy. I mean, you look at the kind of numbers we're doing. We were probably GDP of a little more than 1%. And if I can get that up to 3 or maybe more, we have a whole different ballgame.
Here's the reality check. GDP growth for the fourth quarter, which was confirmed this morning, is at 1.9% on an annualized basis. We have not been in this economy at 3% annual growth or more in literally 11 years. Which gets us to the budget speech tonight. The president has, during his campaign and in office so far, made running the government sound basically easy. Budgeting in particular. Cut here, add there, boom, you got a budget. Oh, that it were so simple. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams thus has context story number one, the realities of budget making in this political Washington.
President Trump would like to run the government like a business, but especially when it comes to the budget, there are some key differences. For one, members of Congress who have to pass the budget are not Trump's employees. Joe White of Case Western Reserve University has been studying the budget process for decades.
In a business, he can say, "You're fired," to people who don't cooperate, whereas he can't fire Paul Ryan and he can't fire, you know, any senators.
Another difference, cutting spending from one area doesn't necessarily free up money for something else, because politics. Lindsay Koshgarian is research director at the Nonpartisan National Priorities Project. She points out budget caps previously passed by Congress enforce the idea of parity, which
basically means that any increase in military spending would be matched by a corresponding increase in domestic spending. And of course, Trump's proposal throws all of that away.
Trump wants a $54 billion increase in defense spending, partly paid for by cutting non-defense spending. But he can't do that without Congress. Bill Hoagland is senior vice president at the Bipartisan Policy Center. He says there's a reason Trump is targeting this discretionary spending.
This is in some ways an easy area to address because we're leaving off the table the fastest growing components of spending.
Those are entitlements like Social Security and Medicare, which make up about two-thirds of the federal budget.
Unless, of course, you're talking about increasing taxes to pay for the increased spending.
And it's unlikely Trump would want to suggest that in his primetime speech. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.